Okay, good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called How to Live Longer. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure having you on the line this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, David Wolfe. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking David a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through our site by you, our listeners. Now, I've been following David's work for a number of years now, and just wanted to share a personal story from my year last year. And I guess where I've really found David Wolfe's work of particular interest and relevance to me was just before I was about to kick off on a six-month raw food adventure last year. And at the time, I was really struggling with developing the mindset of absolute radiant health, even though I've studied health for a number of years. And actually just listening to interviews that David Wolfe have done, both on YouTube and through different teleseminars, really enabled me to cultivate the mindset that enabled me to complete that journey. So it was a great pleasure for me to chat with him this evening. Now, David Wolfe is considered one of the world's top authorities on natural health, beauty, nutrition, herbalism, chocolate, and organic superfoods. He actually has a master's degree in nutrition, as well as a background in science and mechanical engineering. He's also a best-selling author of a number of books, including Eating for Beauty, The Sun Food Diet Success System, and Naked Chocolate. David is also the president and founder of the Fruit Tree Planting Foundation, a non-profit organization with a mission to plant 18 billion trees on planet Earth. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the call our very special guest, David Wolfe. How you doing there, David?
So good. So great. Everything is good. I'm just back from a long trip through New Zealand, Australia, Bali, Indonesia, Tokyo, and then back here to Hawaii. So everything is really on full speed over here. It's been an incredible journey, and I think I've got lots to share and lots of new insights, and it's a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you.
Awesome. And what was the highlight for the trip for you?
There was a number of highlights. One of the great highlights was Sydney, Australia. We had a sold out event down there, and for this is so funny. For 30 years, I had been an AC/DC fan.
All right.
This rock and roll band, and it just so happened that their tour coincided with ours. So every night that I was doing an event, they were playing in the same city, strangely enough.
Wow.
But in Sydney, we had an afternoon event. So after the afternoon event, I ended up going to the show to see them. And it was cool seeing them in their home, you know, home field advantage. And
yeah.
That was a wild thing, because right after that, I got back very early in the morning, and then I had to pack my stuff, and we flew to Melbourne and did two events the next day. So it was basically three events in a two-day period with AC/DC stuck in the middle. And that was kind of a highlight for me.
Awesome. I'm actually originally from Melbourne, but I spent a few months in LA just recently, and I was amazed actually at how many stereos I heard blasting out AC/DC. I'm right with you there.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I like to have a lot of fun, and I guess that's where we're going to start, because you know the mindset of success and the mindset of longevity is really all about having fun first and really enjoying life. And I want to go into that a little bit, and then we'll talk about, you know, where to go directionally with your nutrition, because you are what you eat is still the most powerful thing out there, in spite of all these other ideas that we've been hearing about, including The Secret and everything else in between, and all the ideas out there on longevity that are, you know, been put out there through TED Talks and other stuff. Really, you are what you eat is still the primary thing. So we're going to get into food, and then we're going to kind of integrate some longevity technologies that I really feel are really cutting edge that most people actually have never heard of before, which is shocking to me, but it is the case. So a lot to cover here.
Awesome. Now, I was just wondering, David, for someone who may be sitting at home not too familiar with the word longevity or the concept behind it, I was just wondering if you could just start us off by sharing what exactly is longevity, and also why in particular is it so critical at this particular junction of our human evolution that people become aware of it?
there's a phrase I picked up over the years in my field, and basically in the raw food nutrition field, living food nutrition, and in some of the exotic literature that I've been exposed to. It's an interesting phrase. Here it is. Immortality is the only cause worth dying for. Immortality is the only cause worth dying for. It's an interesting phrase, and it stuck with me for all these years because it gets us into that mindset of the Native American seventh generation concept, which is all the actions that we do today are with the seventh generation in mind. It keeps us in the mindset that whatever we do to the earth is not going to go away. It's going to be here. And if we're going to be here with the earth because we're going to be living long, then we don't want to do anything to harm the earth because ultimately it harms us. So that's the beginning of the mindset of longevity. Now, longevity isn't just more years of life. It's obviously more life in our years. And to actually be able to squeeze out of every day more and more and more and more is really, I think, also another very important principle here. I really believe that the biggest part about longevity is gaining so much vitality that you sleep less, you live more, you get more done, you're more efficient. And then by being here a long time, you begin to learn what works and what doesn't work. In terms of the mindset of success, just having enough time is an important principle. You know, Tom Watson, who founded IBM, he said, if you want to succeed, double your failure rate. Now, there's only a certain amount of time that we can fail before it's all over on this planet. If we had an extra 20 years or 30 years, then it'd be a good thing. You know, we might actually figure it out. And I think of the case of Colonel Sanders, who of all things founded Kentucky Fried Chicken. And in his 60s, he decided he was going to go out and try this Kentucky Fried Chicken business. And he failed. He was told no 1,009 times. He eventually turned that thing around and turned into a multi-billion dollar empire. Now, but this is like, you know, terrible for you kind of chicken. But the idea is his mindset was not one of, oh, I'm 60, it's too late. But it was a mindset of, I can do it no matter what. Longevity, there's an idea that's been brought to the longevity table by Aubrey de Grey, who's one of the leading longevity theorists. And this is a very interesting idea. So I want to put this into the conversation as well, that if we're here long enough, let's say another 15 years, it's very likely we're going to live another 50 years based on the insights and discoveries in the field of longevity that will come down the pipe in the next 15 years. So what my recommendation is for everybody's listening right now, hang on for 15 more years, because what can be discovered is going to be amazing. And hopefully we'll have enough time to get into what has been discovered right here.
Absolutely. Now, I just wanted to pick up on the concept of thinking seven generations in advance than the Native American Indian philosophy, but it seems almost, when we consider our built-in redundancy kind of culture, that we're creating things to dispose of them so we can just buy more stuff. Like, it certainly does tilt the lens in a very different way here on planet Earth.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I love about the internet, right, and just about what you're doing, what you're actually doing and what we're providing people here, we're actually giving people kind of a type of a media where nothing needs to be printed, nothing needs to be shipped. There's no, it's all figments of light, really. Like, my voice is basically turned into light, is brought over to a speaker, and that speaker allows people to hear me. This is why the internet age can save us, is that we are moving away from products and moving to what's really important, which is information exchange. Because ultimately, as Marshall McLuhan said, there is only one job for the future, and that is information accrual and information usage. That's it. That's where we're going in the information age. So I do see a way out for humanity. It definitely isn't hopeless.
Great. Now, David, before we actually get into some of the technologies you've uncovered, I just wanted to ask a personal question just along the lines of how you actually became interested in the whole world of natural health, ecology, sustainable living, and, of course, longevity.
Well, it started from day one for me because both my parents are medical doctors, strangely enough. And I was born, actually, like, I'm the son of two medical doctors into an environment that was, you know, 100%, like I went with my dad on house calls. I grew up, like, as a child in my parents' office. I used to go to hospital conventions, I mean, from the time I was a child. So even though that's not the model of longevity that I ascribe to today, it definitely opened me up to the conversation of longevity, the conversation of science as it relates to medicine. But I do believe, obviously, that direction, namely hospitals, doctors, surgeries, and that kind of stuff, it isn't what's going to get us there. It's just, you know, it's just was the beginning of pretty much at this point, I'd say it's a bad idea. But nevertheless, that's how it started. And then I got very interested in planting fruit trees and ecology when I was 7 years old, when our family first came to California. And, you know, we put in an orchard at my uncle's ranch that was, we put in about 200 fruit trees, and that really very strongly changed the direction of my life because I learned how to plant, how to take care of a farm. And I've always felt that environmentally friendly business is the only type of business that can be done. Every other type of thing that leaves pollution behind is obviously not sustainable, and it's not actually rational. So step by step, I kind of built on my, you know, what was kind of a medical health background, which is kind of genetic in me, built up into, you know, considering the environment, the ecology, ecologically friendly businesses, et cetera. And, you know, it's just like anything in your life. It builds up momentum as you go. So I started with nothing, and step by step by step, really through public speaking and events, got to where I'm at now.
Amazing. Like I heard a speaker a couple of years ago talk about this whole things of footprints that we leave on planet Earth. Lots of people say that we should tread lightly on the Earth and leave the smallest footprint possible. And he actually had a radically different understanding of the term footprint. And just by looking at the vision or the mission of your fruit tree planting foundation to plant 18 billion trees on planet Earth, that's a massive footprint that could really totally transform the planet we live on. Now, I was just wondering if you could share a little bit more about the vision for your fruit tree planting foundation as well.
Well, I'm an entrepreneur by nature, you know. I do a lot of for-profit stuff, and I also do a lot of nonprofit stuff. So, in the nonprofit world, as an entrepreneur, it's always been taught to me that you always develop a nonprofit arm of what you do, because that will ultimately outlive you. It will be the legacy that you leave behind. So, I had to meditate about 10 years ago on what is it that I really love to do more than anything in the world that I would do for free forever, and that really gives me joy. And you know, that translated into developing the Fruit Tree Planting Foundation, which plants fruit trees around the world from places in Kenya, India, Brazil, where kids actually need the nutrition to survive from those fruit trees, all the way to Native American reservations across the United States of America and elementary schools across the United States of America, you know, all kinds of different places where we've been putting in these orchards. It's really a labor of love. It's something that is entirely solution oriented. Instead of, you know, pointing at problems, it gets everybody together so we can do something that's positive for the world and for the future. Because to me, the future is fruit forests. That's where our food is going to be coming from. It takes care of itself once it's set up. I've seen systems like that. Like I was just in Bali, Indonesia, where they have fruit forest systems set up for families there. And it's been like that for thousands of years. It's totally sustainable, best thing ever.
I was actually in Greece over summer, and I was just absolutely stunned at the availability of free organic fruit, just literally from figs to grapes to lots of other different varieties of fruit that you could just freely go up and pick and enjoy. And just actually experiencing that kind of bountiful food land, like it really did make coming back to London quite harsh in many respects, because we just haven't cultivated that in lots of our central Western advanced ways of being. So, look, it is something that is phenomenal to experience, and I certainly look forward to seeing your organization growing and spreading that message.
Thank you. It's exciting. We just moved our world headquarters to the Big Island of Hawaii, right there on the volcano. So we're going to have some, it's going to be a wild ride from this point on. We just put in the first road into that structure, or into the area where the structure is going to go. Very exciting. And we're going to be growing plants there And eventually our idea is we're going to have a freighter show up, pick up 1 million baby fruit trees, and then sail to Africa and India, where we can just unload literally 1 million trees and do big, big projects. So, you know, things are in the works for that level of activity.
Amazing. That's the sort of preemptive strikes that I like to say. Great.
Yeah.
Now,
this is great.
Now, we touched on the technology, David, of longevity, and you're a phenomenal researcher, and you've actually brought to mass consciousness some incredible discoveries over the past years of your work. And I was just wondering if you could actually share with people this evening some of your insights or new uncoverings of technology surrounding longevity.
Okay, well, let's talk about one of the major points of longevity, and that is that I look at things very scientifically. I always have, and I look for similars rather than dissimilars. So if I'm looking for chronic inflammatory disease, what is it that finally takes out a noble organism like a human being? I do see there's something similar in all cases, whether it's cancer or heart disease or whatever it is, psoriasis, eczema, diabetes, et cetera. What is it that's similar in all those situations that we can look at and begin to examine scientifically? And what's similar is calcification. Calcification is associated with aging. And what I mean by that is fusion of the bones, buildup of arthritis, buildup of plaque formations, hardened plaque formations all through the body, the buildup of inflammation underlying that is some kind of an irritant, which we now know is glass-like calcium. All these kinds of things suddenly became clear to me a number of years ago, about 5 years ago, that I realized, whoa, calcification is a big issue here. Then I began to study calcification every direction. One of the things that we know about calcification is that if we take calcium supplements, we increase calcification. So right there, I just said something really important, and that is do not ever take calcium supplements if you want to live. Calcium supplements are extremely dangerous. They cause calcification. They are a part and parcel to every disease that we know of, including kidney stones, liver stones, cataracts, diabetes, atherosclerotic plaque, Alzheimer's, which is brain sand, which is calcification of the brain, and just goes on and on like this. These calcium supplements actually have nothing to do with bone density. They've never improved anybody's bone density. That's been known for years. What are they? Well, they're material that's dug out of the earth. Most of it comes from Mexico, and it's basically ancient seabeds that are filled up with the relics or fossils of life forms. That's the calcium. And so we're basically eating stuff that's already had its day in the sun. It's shells of ancient life forms. This is not something that can have any positive effect on us from any perspective. It's very dangerous. It causes irritation of the digestive tract, and it just goes on like this. So now the question is how could this be the number one thing that is recommended as we age, right? It's like, oh, you have to take calcium supplements for your bones. And when you come to grips with all of these issues, you start to realize that I read it in Nietzsche years ago, and it's a very important phrase, that the conventional truths and the conventional discourses that are being sold to us in mainstream media are exactly the opposite of the truth. It's the exact opposite. And Nietzsche said, all you've got to do is just invert it. Whatever they're telling you to do, do exactly the opposite, and you will be on the truth. And I've been looking at that phrase for 20 years. I have to say he's correct. As I've examined it as a scientist in our society, those things that are being most strongly sold to us are for some reason the worst things for us. And the calcium supplement is the very metaphor and example of that. If we want to live a long time, we actually need different minerals than calcium. We can get all the calcium we need from vegetables if we eat vegetables, and secondarily from herbs, but we don't need more than that, or we'll become calcified. What we really want is silicon, magnesium, phosphorus, trace minerals, and a whole class of other trace minerals, which we call ormus elements, which aren't even in the periodic table of the elements, and that really are even advancing now at a level where the conventional discourse of science will not catch up due to fundamental assumption flaws that are based in our kind of conventional theories of science.
just reminds me of one of my favorite quotes. If ever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it's time to pause and reflect. But I remember growing up in Australia, and there was such heavy marketing from the milk boards on how absolutely crucial it was to drink as much dairy as you possibly could to maintain calcium in the body. And it's almost like we are bombarded in our modern day cultures with marketing messages from so many different sources. How do you actually recommend people seeing through these seemingly conventionally accepted truths into finding out what's really true?
Well, I think one of the most powerful tools we have, especially as Westerners, is our food. And that is by cleaning up and purifying our food, we become more sensitive. We become a finer-tuned instrument. We become less susceptible to marketing messages. We become more critical thinkers. Now, this is really a wild statement that I'm making here. I'm saying that our food is affecting our body, mind, and emotional state, and in particular, our mental state and our level of cognition and our level of reaction, speed, our reflexes are very, very strongly related to our nutrition over our lifetime. And with what I have always been educating people on for my entire career has been raw and living foods as a very important base of your diet, which is fruits and vegetables, nuts, seeds, all raw, organic, seaweeds, flowers, wheatgrass, grasses, sprouts, superfoods, super herbs, all of this stuff. Really, we need to look at it very closely because our diet that we grew up on is definitely has a lot of problems, and we don't really know who we are because we've never eaten anything that could really construct the level of nobility that we really are supposed to be made out of. You know, we've never had real high quality, very unique food and nutrients that are essentially the noble essences of different ecosystems. So big part of my education now is just informing folks what those things are, whether it's shaga mushroom or aloe vera, or whether it's one of the great longevity foods from the Andes, maca, or whatever it is, or even chocolate. I mean, out of all foods now, we're discovering, this is a shocking discovery over the last 10 years, that the number one food for longevity is chocolate. That is what the data is showing, that the more chocolate you eat in your lifetime, the longer you live. And that's the only food where it's been specifically correlated. Now, to me, is really big news, and we better, come to a theory as to why that is, which is, to me, I've been working on for a while, and it is amazing. It's shocking, really. Another food, by the way. It's not really considered a food in science, but it has also been specifically correlated with longevity, is honey.
Mm.
Chocolate and honey. Imagine that.
Now, when we're not talking Snickers bars kind of chocolate here, David, I was just wondering if you could actually share the chocolates to embrace and the ones to probably to pause and not eat.
This is the upgrade in the chocolate world. Essentially, all chocolate is made out of a nut. Okay, that nut is the most widely eaten nut in the world. It's 100 times more people eat that nut than even know what an almond is. That nut is never actually eaten by people, however. It's only consumed in a processed form, and that processed form is what we call chocolate. Now, what we've been doing over the last 10 years is bringing forth raw chocolate into the marketplace, which is raw cacao or cocoa in its original form available to you, or in cold processed butters and powders so that anybody can get access to the real thing and become their own chocolate factory. Now, that's the chocolate that's been being studied in the great universities around the world, like Cornell. And what we're coming to the conclusion of is that when we have that chocolate in its raw form, we have about three times as many antioxidants available as when it's been boiled and cooked or microwaved or roasted, processed down, conched down into, a Hershey's or a Snickers. We're also getting very powerful anti-plaque types of minerals and nutrients that are in that particular type of chocolate. Now, when I say anti-plaque, I mean stuff that causes our cardiovascular system to be cleaned out. And this is the big discovery that, you know, 50% of the people still die of a heart attack. If you live long enough, what's going to get you is a heart attack. Chocolate prevents it, period. Chocolate is the number one thing for your heart we know of. And if you get the raw chocolate, the real stuff, then you're really working with magic. And what's been found there, I just want to mention this as well, is that, you know, in terms of longevity, you know, we know that not only does chocolate help fight atherosclerosis and coronary plaque, which gets 50% of us, but if we add the other dietary things that I just mentioned in there, like sprouts, like wheatgrass, like vegetables, like just a normal healthy amount of fruit, raw nuts and seeds versus any kind of processed nuts and seeds, what ends up happening to us is that we also then add even more to our heart health. We really start to look at a longevity strategy that has some merit in terms of our angle of our diet.
It's amazing. Now, David, I've mentioned in the call promo that you've delivered over 1,700 live lectures around the world over the last 15 years. And I was just wondering if you actually had any like case studies of people who've taken your concepts, implemented into their life and gone on to live much healthier, happier, stronger, love-filled lives. I was just wondering if you had any case studies that jump out immediately.
Well, it's all over the board because I've been doing this professionally for 16 years at the very, very heart of the raw living foods movement, superfoods, super herbs, spring water. I've got so many stories that it would blow your mind. And it's, there's stories of miraculous healing, stories of people like, I'm just thinking of my friend Evan, who lost his leg in an accident 4 years ago. And, you know, obviously he's taken on, you know, kind of the whole approach that I put out there for healing. But one of the things that really affected him was being able to go out and get fresh spring water at the source and drink that water, and what that did for him and how that transformed his life. You know, I've had many stories like that, but Evans definitely jumps forward in my mind because part of longevity is getting the right kind of water. And we've got to have low mineral content. Spring water is the best at the source, fresh out of the ground, just to put that in perspective. So anybody who's interested on what is actually the best water that's never been run through pipes, that is basically – it's like suckling from the breast of Mother Earth, really, is what it is like. Mm. If you have a good spring water with low mineral content in it, you have something so important and so magical for you and so transformative. Just the testimonials I've gotten on that kind of information alone is unbelievable. Mm. Generally, when we're dealing with, for example, the most powerful herbs in the world, reishi mushroom, shaga mushroom, these are, you know, the herbs of immortality. In ancient systems, like in the Chinese system, reishi is herb of immortality, spirit mushroom. In Siberian shamanism, shaga mushroom is, and that's C-H-A-G-A. Shaga mushroom is the herb of immortality. I had a testimonial from two folks. One was 102 and the other is 105. And they said that they're, what got them there is shaga mushroom tea. Mushroom tea. Now, they've been doing it a lot longer than I've been alive, but, you know, nevertheless, the word came through that that's really, that was their secret. You know, and most people don't even know about shaga mushroom tea, which, by the way, is absolutely delicious. It's one of the best teas ever. I have found this correlation. I do want to say this, and that is the healthiest food ever tastes great. Health food probably tastes awful. I don't really eat health food. I eat the healthiest food ever, which tastes great. Shaga mushroom tea, reishi mushroom tea. The chocolates that I get to have, all the raw chocolates, the incredible array of fruits and vegetables that come from our garden here, outrageous good stuff. You know, so I do want to mention that you can get there on flavor. There's no suffering involved in living a long time.
Absolutely. That's a very important message to put out there. Now, David, I mentioned that we've had questions come in from all around the world, and I just thought I'd kick off with a couple now. And this one's actually come in from Jenna, who's in Canada. And Jenna asks, what are the signs of premature aging? I am 32, eat very healthy and consciously, vegetarian, and yet my hair is already starting to turn gray. Why is this?
Okay, let's talk about some of the symptoms of premature aging. One of them is premature graying of hair. Early balding is a symptom. calcification of any kind. So when we get like lumps, you know, some people have a lump of hard calcification on their, you know, big toe. You know, you see that quite a bit. Somewhere on their feet, these corns that turn into hard lumps. That's a sign of premature aging. Lack of flexibility is a sign of premature aging. Obviously, losing any of our faculties, sight, hearing, smell, taste, you know, all that kind of stuff. Another sign of aging is, and this is, I think, a real big one, is losing or not being able to adapt with the times, losing our ability to innovate. You know, that's, we've got to keep our brain sharp, and we keep our brain exercised by our ability to innovate and roll with the times. Now, let's say somebody has gray hair and they're wondering, okay, I'm 32, what's going on? It's a number of factors. One is, it is always a number of factors, never one thing. Could be toxicity levels. Toxicity levels must be considered in an aging or an anti-aging longevity strategy now. What do I mean by that? I mean pesticide load, fungicide load, how much of that stuff we've absorbed into ourselves. Heavy metals, how much heavy metals have we accumulated into our body? What about xenoestrogens like plastics? Okay, how much of that have we accumulated? Now, I can say that because years ago in an accident, I have a little piece of metal in my jaw that it's just been there all this time. Right on top of that spot, boom, little gray hairs. That's where I have, the only spot I have gray hair in my body is right on that spot. Why? Because it's heavy metal poisoning, probably from that piece of metal that's in there. And it doesn't bother me. You know, it's perfectly healed and, you know, it's all good. But just that one spot, it's like that. I imagine if we take it out further, we're going to go beyond just you know, the toxicity. There's also, we've got to get the right nourishment in, the right minerals. And that's a big part about gray hair as well. There's a lot of people say, okay, it's copper, that's really what you need. Other people say it's tin. These are trace minerals. Okay, maybe that's what you need. Other people say, hey, it's B vitamins. Sure. I think it's actually all of those things and probably a few other things as well that are important to reverse gray hair. Definitely getting a lot more mineral-rich natural foods into our diet, like sea vegetables, superfoods, and some of the greatest herbs in the world, whether it's reishi mushroom, shaga mushroom, astragalus, cat's claw, pau d'arco, pau d'arco, or things like this into our diet, can obviously improve things more quickly because it's a natural way of getting a natural kind of mineral supplement. Foods that are very concentrated in minerals are superfoods, super herbs, and seaweeds.
Great. And for people who are sitting at home thinking like whether or not they're mineral deficient, like what sort of resources would you recommend for people to do a diagnosis of exactly where they are right now?
You could get blood work done. Blood work's the most accurate. Hair analysis isn't really that accurate, although it may give you a reasonable ballpark figure. I don't think it really does pass the scientific validity test if we really put the crunch down on it. So blood test is a good way to go. Any doctor can send your blood off to a lab and you can get a good mineral analysis of where you are. And it's a good tool to have. Another tool that you should definitely use as well, this has to do with our ability, our cognition, it has to do with aging. And, you know, if we are eating foods that we are allergic to, we can be shaving decades off our lifespan. For example, let's say we're blood type B. Blood type Bs are allergic to chicken. Let's say we're blood type B, we eat chicken every day. We can be shaving off 30 years of our lifespan. That's what the research is showing.
Wow.
So we just got to – I'd be very, very careful about what we're eating in terms of its reaction in our body. And a lot of times we don't pay attention to reactions or side effects of the food. I'm asking us to begin to start paying attention to side effects of food that we're eating so we know that we're actually getting we're eating that's in a way that's completely in alignment with our health, and we know that we're not dealing with any very strong food that's an allergen in our body. So being tested when you're at your doctor's for allergies, I think, would be a great idea.
Great. Okay, this is a question that's actually come in live from Annie, who's in Hove in the UK. And Annie asks, do you see a future where food is replacing a pharmaceutical drugs as a cure for certain medical conditions?
Yes, that future is here now. That future is here right now. It already has. the level of medicine, for example, that I'm aware of, just what I'm aware of, and what I actually take, if I actually was to sit down and kind of lay it out to everybody listening right now, and really like talk it through, every single thing that's, for example, on my diet, for most people, they'd go, what in the world? How come we don't know about this? How come everybody doesn't have access to this? Actually, everybody does have access to it. The most important thing is having the information so we know what we're doing. Let me give you an example. Medical model, antibiotics, streptomycin, penicillin, tetracycline. What are these things? What are these antibiotics that are so heavily used in the Western world? They're actually mushroom extracts. They're actually fungi. So the Chinese had figured out, and so had the Siberian shamans and a whole bunch of people in the northern and southern hemisphere, had figured out that mushrooms that grow on trees, which we call polypores, are the most noble representatives of their kingdom. They're all associated with extreme immune system activity, improving our immune system, and they're all associated with extreme longevity. But these are really the antibiotics that we need. And the ancients made medicines out of them by making tea out of them, which is great. But the techno mushrooms that we have today that are grown in laboratories, but the spirit of the mushroom is still in there. It's not just stripped for its chemistry. It's all left intact. It's just powdered down. So it still has the energy of the intelligence is still there. These mushrooms, like the reishi, with shaga, with maitake, with shiitake, with lion's mane, with coriolis, when they're all put together in formulas of 5 of them or 10 of them, we've got quote-unquote antibiotics that obliterate any Western idea of pharmaceutical antibiotics. I mean, just it deletes it as an option because they're so much more powerful and they're so much more natural and they work and they are developing an intelligence inside of us that we've never really felt being turned on before. I mean, that's how far we are from, say, the conventional discourse to where it really is at, just on the field of antibiotics.
That's amazing. Very, very exciting to hear that. Now, this question actually comes from Laura, who's in the United Kingdom, and Laura asks, I agree to be healthy. It is important to have both a healthy diet and a healthy inner belief system. One of my closest friends took raw organic eating and yoga meditation to 10 out of 10 for over 12 years and was recognized as a model of gentle, conscious living, yet died riddled with cancer recently. What guidance would you give on delving deeper than the body-conscious mind to heal the core reasons for cancer, obesity, and diabetes? Are conscious eating and the movement enough to ensure maximum health?
No, it's not enough. This is a really important point. Just eating the healthiest food ever or good diet strategy may not be enough. It's a great start. And it can educate you in a way of activating your intuition and your instincts to get to deeper levels of healing. But we should never get stuck in that, you know, this is the end of the end. It's always, you know, a road on the path to development. Let me give you some technology ideas here that's been discovered. I'm sitting on one right now in my room. One of the biggest problems that we face, this is an electrical problem, and it's also a problem of oxidation, and we know about these things in terms of their effects on aging, is that we're never grounded, meaning the human race walks around in shoes most of the time, lives up above the ground in carpeted environments, sleeps on a box spring type of mattress that is an electrical capacitor that attracts static electricity, and is never actually grounded, which means standing barefoot on the earth, sleeping directly on the earth, et cetera, et cetera. Now, for a natural creature to not be grounded is almost impossible, but somehow we've figured out how to do it, which makes us very susceptible to oxidation. And here's why. When they started laying telegraph pipes into the earth about 110 years ago, they found out that the earth itself is negatively charged. And as soon as you touch it with your bare skin, instantly it fills you up with antioxidant negatively charged electrons, which shield you from the atmosphere naturally, which is positively charged. That excess positive charge over our lifetime, because we're a walking column of ocean water. I mean, that's really what we are. If you look at a human being, you go, oh, they're a walking column of ocean water. If we have shoes on, what's actually happening is we're becoming more susceptible to oxidation. And we're knocking off years of our life because we're not taking advantage of the free electricity, negatively charged electricity and antioxidants that the earth naturally just gives us when we touch her with our bare hand, with our bare feet. And that little bit right there, I believe, is the reason why you can see, like, I was just in Bali, Indonesia, and there are guys there 70 years old, barefoot their whole lives, that are ripped, like cut, like stomach, like washboard stomachs that would rival any Western model. These guys are 70, and you look at them, you go, that guy's got easily 40 more years left. Mm. And a big part of it, according to the research, because there's been about 30 studies done in the last dozen years on this, is indicating that being grounded every day, getting yourself in the ocean, getting yourself walking barefoot, getting yourself to jump in a lake, actually has a very powerful effect in extending our longevity.
Well, and for people who have a need for wearing footwear, are there any types of footwear that that still allow that grounding to occur, like, for example, like a moccasin or some natural fibers?
A moccasin will work. A moccasin will work as long as sometimes if you look at moccasins, if you look underneath where your foot goes, there's a little, like, plastic pad in there. So if you do have moccasins, pull those out, and that will work, because as your foot gets going and starts sweating into that shoe, the electrolytes will get into the moccasin and get into the deer skin or whatever it's made out of, and eventually you'll have a transfer of charge from the earth. So that will work. There's also an entire genre of shoes is coming that is all grounded because of these discoveries. And this is all going to begin this year. In fact, it's going to begin in about 2 weeks in L.A. Looks like the first grounded shoe wear will finally reach the market. So that is a huge breakthrough. It's a breakthrough for everybody's health. And, of course, you know, things always start small, but eventually it will become common all around the world to have grounded shoe wear. And grounded bedding is now going to become available. I have some grounded bedding, but it's not an internet product yet. It's going to become more available to everybody. So if you can sleep grounded, which means sleep in the same electrical potential as the earth, connected electrically to the earth, which, by the way, in 100% of cases, listen to this, 100% of cases, not 99 or 97, 100% report that when they sleep grounded, they sleep deeper and better and lose their insomnia.
Mm. That's amazing. And then good news to hear that the shoes have been launched in LA. I should be out there in a couple of weeks' time to check it out.
Right on. Yeah, it's going to be at our longevity conference. It's going to be
fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Awesome. Now, as a visionary, David, this question should be a good one for you as well. This one comes from Sherry in the United Kingdom, and Sherry asks, what is the best way you know of to improve one's vision? Would this enable one in time to no longer need corrective lenses?
I have had friends of mine who've given up their corrective lenses. I've had friends who tried and weren't capable of doing it, so I've seen both cases. There's a tremendous amount that can be done with eye nutrition and nervous system nutrition today that wasn't possible before. I did put a very good formula. I just want to put this out there. If you have my superfoods book, on page 161 of my superfoods book, there's a brain, eye, and nervous system formula that's like kind of a drink that you make that I think is very, very powerful. And it's got a lot in there, more than I can get into right here, but I'll give you the basis of it right here. One element has to be berries and berry powders, which are super rich in carotenes and anthocyanins, which have a very specific effect on our eyes. And the main ones are goji berry and blueberries. So goji berry has the carotenes, which is called zeaxanthin, which is probably the most powerful antioxidant for your eyes there is. And then blueberries have the anthocyanins, which are so important that actually they're starting to consider making them a vitamin, like considering anthocyanins a vitamin. That's that blue pigment that's in the blueberry, that blue purple. Mm. Anyway, it kind of makes sense. Really what the discoveries are about berries in your eyesight is that if you eat many colored berries, right, look at a berry, it looks like an eye, and it's in many different colors, then that's good for your eyes, which, you know, that's how Mother Nature's set up. We could figure it out just through insight or shamanically, you know, if we were really paying attention. And we can also do it scientifically, which is kind of how we landed on berries, you know, backwards, in the backwards kind of way through scientific analysis that really began in the 60s. Then there's the idea of taking long-chain omega-3 fatty acids. So long-chain omega-3 fatty acids are what makes fish oil different from flaxseed oil or hemp seed oil. We really need the long chain, not the short chain or medium chain like what's in flax oil. So fish oil is actually better for you, but then what about the issue of the environment? What about the issue that we're going to fish cod out of the ocean here in the next 50 years? So where do we go there? So that's where krill oil comes in. Krill is the second up on the food chain from phytoplankton. That's what whales eat to build their nervous systems. They eat phytoplankton and krill. And the combination of those together, by the way, of marine phytoplankton, which is a product that's available today, and krill oil taken together is a very powerful combination for nervous system nutrition and rebuilding your nervous system. Another product that I want to mention, it's a supplemental product that you may want to look for, is Dr. Patrick Flanagan's Mega Hydrate, which is a hydrogen supplement, very powerful antioxidant product, very good for long-term health, longevity, and an excellent food for your eyes. It's very, your eyes are the, you know, that's the window of your soul. That's got the highest grade nutrients in your body in it, and that means high-grade hydrogen, which you can also get if you go to spring water at the source, but a lot of people are not doing that, especially in London, so I'm giving this Mega Hydrate as an alternative.
I know that's definitely a question I did have, David, for you personally as well. Like for people who are living in these urban environments, how do you actually recommend that they actually find a clean supply of spring water? Is there a central resource that people can tap into from around the world for their local area, or is there some other way?
There is. There's a website out there called findaspring.com that allows you to find springs all over the world. It's a worldwide database of spring water sources and their qualities. Now, this is a free resource because the great thing about spring water is it's free. When you tune into spring water, like I just traveled all the way through New Zealand, all the way through Australia, every major city on the East and West Coast, and then flew to Bali and did a whole bunch of events there, the entire thing on free water, didn't pay for water one place I went to. Just by going to springs with my glass bottle and filling up, that's all we did. And now I don't live in those places, so I just want to make sure that everybody knows how easy it is once you tune into that frequency. Once you realize that spring water is available all over the world for free at the source and that there are resources to get at it, you will never need to pay for water again, no matter where you are in the world. You'll know what to look for and you know how to get there.
And you also mentioned your glass container, David, as well, as opposed to using plastic. Why should people drink water from glass?
I like this one. There's nobody in their right mind who would ever buy their wine in plastic, right? Nobody buys wine in plastic. So, you know, we're not going to buy our water in plastic. Water is certainly more valuable than wine. And I don't trust any company that's doing it in plastic. Forget about it, right? They're not considering the environment. So I really like to support those companies, especially the spring water companies, that still do it the right way and bottle their product in glass.
That's awesome. Cool. Now, I've just got one last quick question from Barbara, who is in the US, before we actually talk about the longevity conference coming up. And Barbara actually asks, David, you are a blender enthusiast. What do you think about the statement made that we lose most of our nutrients by blending? And do you know of any testing resources?
Well, I don't know how to test that. I mean, there's so many factors involved in blending. I think at this point, the only statement I can make on it is just from experience. Having used a Vitamix blender since 1980 when I bought my first Vitamix blender, so that's 30 years. I think that's a good amount of personal experiential research. You know, I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I'm going to say there's two parts to a blending operation. One is you're going to have a rampant EMF field because you have a dynamo right underneath the blades, usually in most cases. It's an electrical motor that produces an EMF field. That EMF field is like the EMF field of any appliance. It's corrosive and it's not good for you. Going beyond that, there's a very good energy that's occurring with blenders, and that is the vortex. So we have two competing energies with each other. We have then the metal blade, which is breaking up the materials that's in the blender, whether it's fruit or vegetables or whatever you have in there. And so that's not really the best thing ever because it's metal on your food, but then, you know, we're doing that with knives all the time anyway. When you blend things up, as long as you do it very quickly, 20 to 30 seconds with a Vitamix blender, my experience is everything is great. If we did it for 3 minutes, it may be another experience. I would have another statement to make, but I don't ever do that. So, you know, I don't want to comment to say that, you know, if you do it for 3 minutes, it's really going to be bad for you. I actually think if you take vegetables and obliterate them in a blender and drink your vegetables, I don't care how, you know, if you do it for 3 minutes or 1 minute or 30 seconds of blending, that's got to be better for you than, you know, most other foods you can eat. That's been my experience.
Awesome. Well, David, the hour has almost passed, and I just really wanted to take this opportunity to thank you wholeheartedly for making time today to speak with us on the People You Should Meet program. You've just come off a big tour of Australia and New Zealand and Bali, and to land back in Hawaii and to make time for this call, we're very honoured to have you on the program. I also wanted to make special mention of just the incredible devotion that you dedicate to your work, and it's like a lifetime of considered thought, applied energy, and really the fact that you're so generous in the way that you share your information. I guess the only way I can really say it is that you're a total ambassador for humanity, and I just really wanted to acknowledge you for the incredible work that you do. And I know people on the call as well would love to learn more about your work. I know you've got the Longevity Conference coming up soon. So I was just wondering for people who wanted to continue studying with you and growing with you, what sort of things you have available for them?
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And thanks for the compliments. And I do consider myself an ambassador for humanity to make things better for all of us, which we can do immediately because we have the technology now. Now is the best time ever. The resources, if you want to track me down, davidwolf.com, W-O-L-F-E, davidwolf.com, longevityconference.com, which is coming up in a few weeks, something you may be interested in if you're in that area. Thebestdayever.com.
Okay, it looks like we may have just lost David Wolf. Okay, David, are you back on the call?
Yes, I am.
Are you back? Cool.
Yeah.
Great. I think we lost you just when you were talking about the best day ever.
Oh, okay, so thebestdayever.com is our online magazine, which gives you access to text, audio, and video information. It's beyond PhD level amounts of information that's applicable to all levels, beginner, intermediate, and advanced nutrition students, and also lifestyle students. And what we're really onto now is it's really what have we learned that gives us the best lifestyle possibilities ever, and how do we apply them into our life? And obviously, you know, those are all going to be health-oriented. Now, the Fruit Tree Planting Foundation, I wanted to mention that. It's really near and dear to my heart. I hope you can help us in any way you'd like to as a volunteer or a donor. FTPF.org, FTPF.org. Check out what we're doing. Check out what we've done. I think you'll find it something that you want to get involved in at some point down the road. And if you just wanted to track me down, if you get to davidwolf.com, if you click on events there, you'll see where I'm going to be, and I'll probably be in your neck of the woods at some point. You mentioned, Damien, earlier that I'd done about 1,700 events. After this last tour, it must be getting close to 1,800. It's been like a full load. It's a lot of events. And so that's my real forte is public events, entertainment, really delivering something that is vastly more useful than dinner and a movie. So if you get to see me in your town, consider that, you know, I might be more entertaining than dinner and a movie. And if you come down, you might get something that's useful for your life, you know, at least that you can take home with you.
Brilliant. And is there anywhere in the world, David, that you'd love to travel to and share your message, but you haven't been yet?
I'm really looking now at Singapore and Hong Kong, those areas. And we're just, you know, we're just opening up Tokyo right now, and we're going to be moving into Asia here very soon because there's, you know, millions and millions of people there that are hip, that are really onto, like, you know, what has been learned, where can we go from here, and that are open to it. And they've not heard this message before. So that's what's exciting me right now.
And also just wanted to pick up on the Longevity Conference. You've got some very exciting speakers booked for the conference as well. And I was just wondering if you could share like some of the key speakers, and also for people who are curious how they can actually buy tickets as well, because I know there's not that many tickets remaining.
We're coming down to the wire. So if you go to longevityconference.com, you'll see how to register for the event, and that's what I recommend that you do, is you jump right on that right away. We've just sold out the hotel, so you'd have to stay now even at a hotel down the street. We've got 31 seats left, according to the website, Now, here's the speakers who are going to be there. We've got Paul. We've got my teachers basically coming. It's Paul Stamets, who's the world's leading mycologist, who innovated the field of mycology or mushroom sciences to a point that's it's like really, this is this thing about the antibiotics that I'm telling you about, to a level where if you take the right mushroom formulas for yourself, you can actually create an invincible immune system. And he's going to be talking about that. We've got Dr. Mercola coming, and he's going to be talking about vitamin D3. He's going to be talking about vitamin B12 and some of the unique anti-aging vitamins and nutrients that are out there that are very important for the general population to be aware of. We've got Donna Gates coming, and she's going to be focusing on friendly bacteria environments in our body. This is another thing about longevity, is we've got to have a nice, friendly environment for healthy bacteria like Acidophilus to live in inside our gut, because that's really what digests food. So she's going to be doing that. We've got George Lamoureux coming in. He's going to be doing Taoist tonic herbalism and the strategies that have been figured out in China on how to use herbs as a lifestyle, not just as something you take when you're sick, but actually how do you use them kind of the way we used vitamin and mineral supplements. And that's going to be there. We're going to have chef demonstrations of all these different tonics, elixirs, and different dishes that we've been working on with our longevity technologies. That's going to be a lot of fun. So we've got Jason Robel, Frank Giglio, my friend Solo's coming from Iceland. She's the leading raw living food chef in Iceland. She's coming all the way to the event. And then we're going to have yoga in between. So we're going to have yoga classes every day of the conference. I've got my friend Ian Clark. He's another guy that when I met Ian Clark, he was on his deathbed. And Ian Clark is going to show you how he regained his health, lost over 100 pounds, and transformed his entire life, including his family of 7 kids.
Wow.
In a period of about a month's time, how he started the transformation. It took him about a year for the whole thing to happen, but very quickly integrated all this information, and his picture, his before and after picture, is one to take home with you, that's for sure.
That's phenomenal. Absolutely amazing. Great. That's certainly something to look forward to, and certainly people who are out in the LA region, do jump now and actually get the last remaining tickets. It sounds like it's going to be an absolutely amazing event. We've literally come to the end of our call, Dave, and I just had a couple of questions to finish off on. First of all, I was just wondering if you could share with us what you plan on doing with the rest of your long life. What's the big, bold visions that are coming up for you?
I really love farming. So I pretty much have everything I need right now. I don't need any more anything. And so I really want to spend a lot more of my time farming and gardening. I really want to spend a lot more of my time growing the best food ever in the best way possible and actually bringing those foods to people. So I want to get much more involved in selling the food that I'm growing. And when I say on the food I'm growing, I do grow lettuce, but I'm not selling it. I'm talking about chocolate products and noni products and aloe vera products and superfood products that we are growing here. With everything we got, with biodynamic farming principles, with sea energy agriculture, with all the stuff that's talked about in Christopher Bird and Tompkins' Secrets of the Soil, foliar feeding, sonic bloom, the whole nine yards is what we're doing here. And I really want to eventually get that into the mouths of people who can really taste what quality is all about. So that's what I plan on doing with my long life.
Awesome. And do you have any closing words of advice for people that are sitting home thinking about or contemplating a shift in their way of being to embrace these natural health and longevity principles?
Well, we were talking earlier about the mindset of success, right? And this is a super important piece. And I want to just punch up a poem here that I came across. I love to read success books. And this poem came back to me after many long years. I want to see if I can find it and share it with you. Okay. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win but think you can't, it's almost certain you won't. If you think you are outclassed, you are. You've got to think high and rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man. And here's the important line, listen to this. But sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. So obviously, it applies to women as well, but I love the last two lines. Sooner or later, the one who wins is the one who thinks he or she can. See, if we're there long enough, then we will eventually win. And I've always been a very strong finisher. I've always noticed that about me in my life. That's kind of how I am as a person. So I just need enough time to finish. So that's why I'm living a long time.
Brilliant. Well, David, I just really wanted to, again, just say thank you so much for sharing the past hour with us, and also thank you for your dedicated research and being the outstanding human being that you are.
Right on. Thank you so much, Damien. Have the best day ever. And everybody listening, have the best day ever by far.
Cool. And I just also wanted to take this opportunity to thank you all at home as well. Your active participation in these calls week to week really does help create an atmosphere of love and real presence in the world. We've been doing these calls for 2.5 years, and each week we're getting the message out to more and more people. It's really amazing that you're a part of this magical process. Now, for those of you who would love to listen to this call again, it will be made available for free on the peopleyoushouldmeet.com website. So I do encourage you all to listen to this more than once. I certainly will be. And I also encourage each and every one of you to take that step forward and actually recommend this life-changing material to your friends, your family, your work colleagues, your loved ones. Just taking small steps can actually change someone's life forever. So do take this material and share it liberally as you possibly can. Great. So that literally brings us to the end of another Peopleyou Should Meet call. And once again, thanks, David. And once again, thank you, everyone at home. Have a good night.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Aloha.